Genesis, and we're going on in these glorious bridal truths that we see in his life, the things he's experienced, the things he's went through, the testimony that God was faithful to perform. It wasn't Joseph's testimony. It was the testimony of the faithfulness of God, the testimony of what a vision and what knowing the Word of God, what it can set aflame and a fire in your life, what you can go through and still run, what can come your way, and yet, Lord, I almost feel like I'm going to burn out, but yet, no, that smoke and flax, it's not going to burn out, and he ain't going to quench it. But I'll tell you, he's a loving God, and how he encourages us, and I'm so thankful the Lord, in his word and by his spirit, has been encouraging many lives through this study, and I ask him just to continue on tonight. But we see such hidden meanings in Joseph's life. Last week we saw such beautiful revelation of the ascension of Joseph. Finally, through all of that suffering, God allows him to come into that place of second in command of all in Egypt. But looking back at Joseph's attitude, he didn't need that place to rejoice in ascension with the Lord. He was always there. Thanks be to God. I know he went through moments. We know that. We're people. We're human. But thank the Lord that the overwhelming and the overlying testimony always in his life, he looked to God. He knew the Lord was faithful to the promise that he had made him. And the promise that Joseph had, and you think of this, many times people hear the word of God in the orally or audibly, even in the word of God, where God had called them out, whether it was Abraham, whether it was Moses that spoke face to face. This is very interesting with Joseph, because Joseph, as he's encouraged through dreams. He knows the word of God. He's encouraged through even the events of his father and the things that his father was bringing him into that I'm sure he didn't really realize. But when the Lord gave him those dreams, when the Lord showed him the the favor and the high favor that God had for him, all those things that he had learned and went through all began to come together. And all throughout Joseph's life, each line upon line of his life, because Joseph's life is the word of God. It is. We're reading it, amen? And see, we need to understand our lives are the word of God too. And praise be to God, you're reading about your wonderful life right here. And it's being built line upon line and precept upon precept in your life. And I thank God as he takes us through these things, just like Joseph. They all begin, it's not that I'm looking for connection, but I see the connection always. And that connection, so many different verses, but the one that jumps out all the time is Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together. And you put your name there for Jesse, for me. All things work together. And for good. Thank you, Jesus, because I love you. And thank you, Lord, because of the word and the vision that the Holy Ghost has given me in that word. I know I have a calling according to your purpose. And so we go on. So he rises to that ascension. He interpreted those dreams last week for Pharaoh. And he saw that the 7 years of fat meant to lay up all of that fatness that was going to come upon the earth. And remember, as we read this, the earth had never seen such a fat time of corn and production of food. And Joseph went out there because he was encouraged of the Lord. Go get it. Lay it up and lay up more and more and more. And that was speaking to us of the time that we're in, the fullness of the perfection of grace that we live in this church age. The offering of Paul's gospel. Think of what we have there. It's overwhelming to think that God has given us this great grace to be at this time receiving this message. Getting ready, praise God, for the bridegroom and to rule and to reign jointly together with him. And the encouragement that he gives us moment by moment, keep laying it up, keep laying it up. And I'm telling you, as you go through this and as this word begins to become alive in your life, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, it strengthens you, it prepares you You don't go into something unaware. You don't go into something unprepared. By the grace of God, because of the word of God, you're prepared. He's prepared the place. He's prepared the vessel. By the grace of God, now we just pray. And our expectation is of the Lord. And I thank God that we can go in that regard. There is even more that can be possessed. And that was what was given to Joseph. And we'll read that tonight. It's endless. What Joseph saw to gather, we're going to read tonight. It was like the sand of the sea. It was infinite. Isn't that what you look at when you look into Paul's gospel? I mean, come on now. Isn't it infinite by the grace of God? My goodness, it just goes and grows and it's more and more. You think you've went down to the last chamber and then he lights it up. And then, oh my goodness, it's just another vast corridor that he's taking you down. If you'll go. You know, you can also stop at the halfway house and said, well, I've seen enough. That's only halfway. You got to go on. And by the grace of God, the Lord in his love, he takes us on. And this was revealed with Joseph and through Joseph. He had a reigning heart in all of his life. But then it's not that he just went through this hardship and all of those things that happened to him. And here he is, second in command. I'm just going to kick back and now I'm going to relax. No, he had the reigning heart in that fatness. He went out and he took it. He said, Lord, I'm going to lay hold of all this. And if you ever thought that he was going to a whole different level, he goes to a whole different level at this time because he really begins to gather it up for his life, for the people's lives. And then it goes on for his own family, all of these different things. And how God just pours on the blessing in his life. He's encouraged, praise God, to gather the encouragement to us, brothers and sisters, to hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. And how that happens is we lay up those things more and more for the ruling and reigning. That's the crown glory. Amen. This is what's going on tonight. We get excited in the things of God. But then, you know what comes? The seven lean years. And we saw that he said there's seven lean years coming. And that's the perfection of judgment that's going to come. I think about people saying, oh, well, God's judging. No, it's so... That's ridiculous. He ain't judging. He pours out judgment. You're going to see judgment. And if you understand this, you'll be pouring it out with him. We need to understand the word of God and not get caught up in things that'll take you off and get you really just get you occupied with things that you won't be ready. But how beautiful, because Joseph at this time, he's taken into the place of the second chariot. And we saw that Joseph, it said that they cried before him and they bowed their knee before him. Now think of where he was just moments before. He was a slave that entered in. Then he was in prison. You ever feel like you're a slave that's entered in and you're in prison? But in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, Joseph, you got raised right out of there, and it wasn't just, wow, I'm just going to go back to being a servant. Oh, no. You're going to reign over it all. Just like that. Just like that. Praise God. And he didn't have to get ready for it, did he? God had instilled it in him, didn't he? He was already telling them exactly what needed to happen. He was ruling and reigning with the speak that God had given him right when he got out of that prison. Praise be to God. I love it. I'm thinking about Brother John Hill right now. He said, on that wonderful honey, we're not going to have to get ready over there. We're just going to enter right in. And what are you going to enter right into? You're going to enter right into holding and waving a palm, singing salvation to our God? Or are you going to enter right into Paul's ruling and reigning, glorified together with him gospel? Praise the Lord. See this? Oh, what he's opening up right now. Not even a stitch of this in a note. Thank you, Jesus. Now, you go on over here to Revelation chapter 3 and read about that. Rejoice in this. This is where it becomes alive for us. And it's so sweet, you know. And that's where I was thanking God for Brother Hill again and thinking about the joy in his heart, even when he had that cancer riddled through his body. And I told that story where I saw him that day. I went over to see him, and Fernie said, oh, he's in his back bedroom. And I turned the corner down the hall, and he's laid kind of cattywampus against the wall on his bottom, and his towel's kind of over his loins, and his glasses are crooked. I knew he'd just fallen down. And I said, oh, Papo. He looked up at me. He said, Jess, you think he could come today? See, you'll never even be in the Church of Smyrna if you're not living today right now for the Church of Philadelphia. You understand that? You're not living to go the subway. You're living to go the highway. Now, if he takes you the subway, praise the Lord. But you'll never go into that Smyrna company unless you're living for Philadelphia today. See, and that was the Apostle Paul. Amen. He was expecting the coming of the Lord all the time. He wasn't saying, well, Lord, I just want to die. I just want to die and go to heaven. No, the Lord had told him at the very end. He said, well, time of my departure is nigh. But I'm sure in his heart, by the grace of God, he may have known that, yeah, they're going to take me to a chopping block, but he could still come and get me before you chop my head off. He still could. And I know I could see him smiling and thinking that, because God puts that thought in all of us, thinking that way. But in verse 9, chapter 3, behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. See, that's a huge thing to the Lord, is to reveal his love. Isn't that beautiful? He just wants to so badly reveal someday his love and make it known to all. But what's he doing right now? He's courting each and every one of us to reveal his love to you and to me, to take this place. Praise God. So see, he's doing it, this passion individually, and someday he's going to make it openly. She's my one. And how gorgeous that is. And it says, why? Because thou hast kept the word of my patience. You just wait with me. You just long with me. You love with me. I will keep thee from the hour of temptation. I'll keep you from that tribulation time, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. And you think about Joseph's life, and here he is. He's immediately taken out of that prison, shot right up there, and he's reigning. He's ruling. He didn't have to go to school for it. He didn't have to take him to sergeant school or lieutenant school. Amen? You're the man. Praise God. You're the reigning one. And I love that. And that's that quickening power that God gives us. And we live by faith in that, don't we? It's not an arrogant thing. But your expectation's always him. You know it's coming. It's just a matter of when. We're abiding by the grace of God and believing and going on. But it's going to be, and it will happen. And in that time, that knee and that bowing will happen. We see this. They'll come. I thank the Lord. I know at that time, when every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord, his wife will be right there with him. She will receive all of that glory right there with him. He ain't going to go out there and say, honey, you just wait back there. Oh, no, no, no. She's going to be right there with him. So praise the Lord. And that's what he wants us to take. But there's more wealth even in here, chapter 41. So let's get going. It's good to be excited about the things of God, and I'm glad we're excited together in him. This is real. Let's go ahead and read verses 45 through 52. And it says there, and Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Phaneah, and he gave him to wife Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. And Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. And I encourage you, if you haven't studied those, heard those Gentile bride studies, get on the internet. They're on that Wednesday night Bible studies. And one of them, the headings there, I appreciate the brothers doing that. You can go in there and read the, hear the bridal story of Asenath. And it'll encourage your heart. Listen to all of them too. It'll do you good. And Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. Now get this, okay? He just, This is how God just promotes him. Praise the Lord. And in the seven plenteous years, the earth brought forth by handfuls. Okay? See, and I love that expression of handfuls, because what does that mean? You took it. Amen? Yeah, handfuls. Just keep taking it. And he gathered up what? All the food of the 7 years. All of the food. Are we gathering up all the food? Or are we just eating here and there and bits and pieces? Praise God. When he puts it before you, eat the whole thing. Isn't that what the whole counsel of God is? Eat all, yea, even the deep things of the word of God. Praise his name. And I thank the Lord. But I'll tell you what, to eat that much, you got to sit still, don't you? You got to sit there. Sometimes, you know, I'm telling you, them professional eaters, you got to take time. I was always, that was sweet. Old Ed, he was so funny. And I went up there, he's probably listening right now. I almost busted a gut. We went in there to, oh my goodness, what's it called? A Sizzler. I hadn't been in a Sizzler forever. And they got that big old buffet, you know, before you order. And they said they have the buffet of salads and like shrimp and all these kind of things. So we're walking in there, and old big old Ed, he sits up at the, you know, our table's way back over here, and she wants us to go this way, and he just stops and parks himself right at the buffet line like this. And there's some people on each side of him, and I'm right with him, and he says, now, Jess, he says, you go ahead and sit on down here. He said, I'm just going to linger on up here for the rest of the night. And then this woman heard him over on this side, and she was like, she's thinking he was serious. I laughed and laughed. I looked at her. I said, honey, we're going to take him and sit him down. He's going to get all, we're going to settle him down right now. But it's so sweet, because when you're going to eat all that food, you got to take time. You know, you got to come to Bible study. You got to come to Sundays. You got to take time and read the word of God. You got to go study. You need to crack out them study books. They're online, and it'll be a sweet time. You're not trying to compete with anybody. You're not trying to prove something of how worthy you are. It's a matter of falling in love, and how sweet that is. But he gathered up all the food of 7 years, which were in the land of Egypt, and he laid up the food in the cities and the food in the field, which was round about every city laid he up in the same. And Joseph gathered corn, listen to this, as the sand of the sea, very much, until he left numbering. I like that. Are we going into Paul's gospel that we've left numbering? Isn't that sweet? It's kind of like, man, he's just so way out. Where'd he go? You know, he just got so far out there, you know, out from among the camp. I just think that's beautiful. For it was without number. That's what the word is. It's infinite. And unto Joseph were born 2 sons before the years of famine came. So he got these sons before the years of famine came. Which Adnas, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, bare unto him. And Joseph called the name of the first one Manasseh, for God said, he hath made me forget all my toil. Notice all. And all my father's house. And the name of the second called Ephraim, for God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. Now, hallelujah. This is wonderful. Because Joseph, as we read through this, he was given his wife by Pharaoh. And Joseph is given her. And notice, what did he get too? He got a new name, didn't he? Now, wait a second here. I think I know a story about that. There's a company that's waiting for a spouse and a new name. Amen? Isn't that beautiful? And by the grace of God, when I get my spouse, I'm going to have a new name. And I know what that new name, by the grace of God, is. Said no man knew, but I know it's going to be bridegroom. Thank the Lord. This name of Joseph, it means treasury of glorious rest. The treasury of glorious rest. Man, I have lots of things that flood my heart when I hear that, but I always go back to the virtuous woman. Said the heart of the husband doth trust in her, rests in her. And I think, what is that really? It's marriage. It really is. It should be, even in a type and a shadow. I remember at times my dad would be a little bit upset. Nobody could calm him down. Mom could. Yep. Mom could. John? And I know she's sitting back there, well, sometimes I couldn't. Well, that's what God's for. But the point was, was about the spouse. And Debbie and Bob are getting a chuckle out of that one. I don't know what that means, but we're going to trust God. But notice verse 49 and 50, it says, Joseph's wife and sons were given and born to him in the time of fatness. And take this to our heart once again. See, the gain, the double portion, needs to happen right now. Amen? See, it's now. You're receiving it now. Think about Rebecca at the well. All right? Remember when Eliezer came? Did he have some of the things of the master? Did he have a few? He had all. He had all the things. And you think, you know, no, he really didn't. He couldn't take the kingdom with him and all. Oh, yes, he did. He had all because he had the heart of the master's son to give. Everything is in the heart and the love of the bridegroom. That's it. See, we have it all. And we have it all because we have Paul's gospel. That's the heart of the master's son. That's it. Amen. And so this is what's so beautiful is Joseph was gaining everything, all of the double portion, all of, are we not blessed with all the all of the heavens blessings? I'm sorry here. All the spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. I was almost there for a moment. But he's already blessed us with it. Praise God, we already have it. And I thank the Lord that, you know, he gives us these things and we're assured of it. But see, the marriage, the double portion, it needs to be now. All the increase can only happen here and happen here now. It has to happen in the church age. It has to happen in the full grace time for us to enter in. Because after this fat time, after this time of this perfection of grace, when that moment ends, it's immediate. And that time shall be no more. You'll never go back to it. You'll never have that opportunity anymore. When that bride is taken, it's done. And that's what it is. Now, verses 47 through 49, really take heart in that. And we kind of touched on it. Let it really motivate our hearts. Where it says there, in the seven plenteous years, and that's what we're in. We're in this time of perfect grace. The earth brought forth by handfuls. This church age with what was brought in by the Holy Ghost, what was given by that chosen vessel unto God, Paul. We got the message of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Listen to that again. We got the message of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. His wife, his joint heir. He talks about it in Romans 8. His joint heir. Amen. The one that will be glorified together, exalted to the same glory as him. For him, to him, do him, all because of him. Amen? So this is what this is. And what's being brought forth by handfuls. And what does the reigning heart do? He 48, he gathered up all the food of the 7 years. He ate everything. He gathered everything that was offered in that plenteous time. That's what the Philadelphia church is doing right now. They're gathering it all. They're not letting any of it slip. They're not squandering it. They're redeeming the time, giving the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. I mean, see how evident it is? This is what's exciting about it, is he writes this over and over for us. He was writing this in 1800 BC for us. I mean, how wonderful. And that's why man couldn't put this thing together. It's just so beyond perfect, it's marvelous. But only the Holy Ghost can reveal it to us. But see, we let that motivate us and we step into that exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And then we continue to take it all, we gather all that food, and then we gather it as much as, my goodness, as it says there in 49, and he gathered corn as the sand of the sea. He just got infinite in it, praise his name. But it's all because of that excessive gathering that here comes the double portion. See, you'll never go into the double portion. You'll never really enjoy and reap the double portion without first gathering it all and enjoying it. Amen? You know that. And then here came the double portion in those precious sons. And the name of the first one, Manasseh. God has made me forget all my toil. I just love that. And then it went on to say, and it says, all my father's house. There was a lot of hurt. There was a lot of things that had to be taken care of in his life. How about you? Amen. See, that can be baggage. That can be stuff that, you know, those things that we keep looking back at. But see, the faithfulness of God, the faithfulness of Paul's gospel, the faithfulness of eating all the food, you know what happens? We forget those things which are behind. And then, not only do we forget the things that are behind, praise God, he's not done with us yet. Praise the Lord. He's got even more riches a-coming. And here we go. We got the blessing doesn't stop there. We got old Ephraim. Amen. God has caused me to be fruitful in my affliction. Isn't that beautiful? So no, not only am I forgetting those things behind, praise be to God, I'm realizing how wonderfully and fearfully I'm made for him. I'm realizing that, yeah, all those things that were behind, they put me where I'm at right now today. I'm focused. I'm locked in without every single one of those things. And I know, praise God, I receive from you. I receive from you. You comfort me with those things that you were comforted by because you get it. And I thank God every one of the miracle testimonies that has brought you to Paul's gospel in this place. Off the chart. And it feeds each joint of the body. And we rejoice in it. And we're glad in it because we're in that body tightly fit and compacted together. And I, praise God, I know I can't take care of you, but I sure want to be a supplying to you. I want to love you. And I want to love you with that perfect, godly, bridal love, cherubim friend. I want our wings touching. Praise God. Just like Derek, he was over here. We had that communion plates out there and just, you know, shaking hands. They'd give a kiss and they were hugging all over each other over the table. And I said, man, I guess those cherubim, they sometimes the wings go out there. That's not enough. Then they got to kind of hug and everything. And we were laughing about it. But see, that's how God is, he's made us one in these things. And it's a beautiful thing. See, when you're in love, it's all right. When you're in love, it's okay. You know, even spouses, they're in love and things happen in their households and things, but they're together and they're grounded in that love. And everything else is just else. That love, praise God. And you hone in on it. And more importantly, that's our Lord. But not only, see, did his grace cause me to forget, his grace gave me increase. See, there's always this duality, and it's such a beautiful duality in the Word of God. He causes us to forget, but yet we increase. I think of it this way. He causes me to be abased, yet abounding. It's as the tents of Kedar, but as the curtains of Solomon. A sweet sister just rejoicing today in so many different things, and she was bringing my thoughts to Ezekiel. And there's a part in Ezekiel that speaking of the tabernacle. And on the walls of the tabernacle, it talks of, or the temple, it talks of the cherubim. It's like wallpaper, if you will. But they were carved, actually. It wasn't wallpaper. They were carved in the wall. But they had cherubim, palm tree. Cherubim, palm tree. Cherubim, palm tree. Cherubim, palm tree. Okay? Now, each cherubim, though, it said had two faces. It had the face of a man, and it had the face of a young lion. And I was thinking of that duality again. I'm just a man. I'm weak. But yet, thanks be to God, I've got that reigning spirit, too. I've got that overcomer. And it does. It's a beautiful thing, isn't it? See, it's in that weakness that the power of Christ rests upon us. Praise God. See, I know I'm in this flesh. I'm locked in it. I get it. But I know it's for a divine purpose. I know it's so that young lion can reign in me. Praise God. And there's just so much there. That palm tree, I always think of it as the crown. It's our rejoicing. And notice that those, you'll read in there, those cherubim, they're always looking at the palm tree. They're always looking and loving that crown. They're holding that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. How gorgeous that is. Amen. But see, in knowing the gospel, we realize the treasures, praise God, of glory are our infirmities. In his faithfulness, he afflicts us. Amen. There is no other way to reigning without suffering with him. And I was appreciative of Brother Scott's prayer tonight. God has us stirred up in this. He brings the suffering through weakness. And he brings it through weakness and circumstances oftentimes. Circumstances that are beyond us. Amen. But then he'll even bring that suffering internally with temptations that sometimes get the best of us. And I was thinking, well, Lord, it's just a way of irritation after irritation. Amen? Amen, little pearls? It's got to be irritation after irritation. You want to be the goodly one. You want to be that one that's the primo of primo. You're going to get irritated. And it's going to be constant. And until that wonderful goodly pearl comes forth, that's about those continuing trials. Now, let's take just a few more minutes. We'll kind of cut this a little bit. Having fun, though. Thank you, Jesus. Think about the eternal. I was thinking about this with Joseph, because we can go back to some of these things as we go on the next couple studies here. I'm confident the Lord will give us. And I want you to know, he just gives them through the week. I don't know what he's going to give us next week. And I didn't know what he was going to give us tonight until this last week. So when the manna comes, you go get it. Amen? All right. But Joseph just didn't get his double portion in Egypt and in the land of promise, meaning Canaan and all. And he sure did. And we'll rejoice in that, if the Lord tarry. But I want to bring our memory back to when we studied in Revelation. We took a little time in the 21st chapter. And this kind of bringing some things back. But we need to be reminded in them, because there are some wonderful types and shadows and encouragements to our lives. But specifically in Revelation 21:19, and go ahead and turn there. It's speaking of the walls of the city of New Jerusalem, okay? And you say, well, now wait a second. How do we get from Joseph all the way to the walls of the city of New Jerusalem? Well, those walls, we know, are stones, amen? And there were 12 stones, praise God. And those stones represent the tribes. And let's go ahead and read verse 19 together there. And it says, of the foundation of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony. And we'll stop right there. The first three. Okay? Now, the reason that I brought out the first three of all those 12 that they're listing right there, those are the hardest stones. The hardest stones are the most valuable stones. They're always seen that way. And notice the very first one is that jasper stone. You know that the bride even is shown as the jasper stone. The jasper stone speaks of Christ Jesus. It always speaks of the choice one. The sapphire as well too. And praise be to God. These three stones are the three stones that are found as the tribes were changed when they had Manasseh, Ephraim, and Benjamin were all placed into that breastplate together. Those first three stones represent Benjamin, Manasseh, and Ephraim. Those are their stones. Those are the first three stones that are mentioned when we're talking to the foundation. That's a huge thing, and I'm going to tell you why it's huge. First of all, those three are the heirs of Joseph and Rachel, amen? Those two boys, those are Joseph's heirs. And then Rachel, praise God, Benjamin and Joseph were her heirs. They're, praise God, all right? Think about Joseph and Rachel. Those were God's choice. They were his grace. They were his grace ones, amen, they were. They were his first choice. Those were his preferred. And look at this. They're located, I won't read the whole section to you, but they're located on the east side of the city. It's beautiful how this will roll out, and we got into a description of this. Because once again, this east side speaks of the choice side, the first side, the entrance side of the city. It was the entrance side of the tabernacle. Now why this is important is because in the Old Testament, the east side was possessed by the tribes Zebulun, Judah, and Issachar. That represented the lion. You have Judah in there, the lion of the Lord. The tribes of Benjamin, Manasseh, and Ephraim at that time in the Old Testament, where they would camp around the tabernacle, they were on the west side of the tabernacle, or the backside of the tabernacle. What that represented was not the lion side, that was the ox side. And the ox, as we know, represents the suffering. Praise God, not the reigning. Amen? So this suffering was part of their lives. This suffering was the part of the life of a Rachel and a Joseph and their offspring. Amen? And that's where they were placed. But when the glory was revealed, praise be to God, they were first, they were on the reigning side, it was the entrance, and all that suffering, it turned right into reigning. Isn't that beautiful? I just think that's such a, you know, that's just such a wonderful encouragement to us. Joseph, let's remember his name again as we close this tonight. God, or Jehovah, has added. His name encourages us with a double grace. And his line and his seed would rise to reign. And not only in Egypt, but he would reign in eternity as well. And this double grace to us is even a better thing. The place that we know to reign jointly together with Jesus Christ, if we too will suffer together with him. If we too, by God's grace, will hold fast the vision of the crown to reign, just like Joseph. And I leave you with this very last thought. We lay hold of the crown that we have been given. Amen? And our blessed Savior, you know what he laid hold of? He laid hold of his deity. And he never refused or denied, no matter how severe the suffering, no matter how weak he felt, the truth reigned, and the truth will always reign. Think on that. His promises are yea and amen. All right. We'll close with that. And Jesus, keep his hand on each one of us as we drive home tonight. I hear it might be a little slick. I appreciate you all coming out. Wonderful to see so many. But it's our privilege to hear the word of God. And I know that He's pleased. He's always pleased with his word. Thank you, Jesus. Let's stand, be dismissed.